Clinton Township Board of Education will please come to order. Time? 7:38. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 9th, 2014, faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and the Express Times, also posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, in the administrative office, and in each of the Clinton Township schools, and finally faxing to the clerk of the Clinton Township. Mrs. Spitzer, may we please have a roll call?
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mr. Freda?
Present.
Mrs. Hand?
Here.
Mr. Malloy? Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Petuto?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
And Mrs. Verderama?
Thank you. Mr. Sturgis, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Sturgis, if it's okay with you, I'll give you double duty tonight.
Got it.
For not only the Pledge of Allegiance, but for the process guardian as well.
Got it.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, April 28th, 2014, and this is the monthly meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Before we get into the agenda, I'd like to welcome everybody back from spring break. For those of you who are lucky enough to leave the coldness of our area and go somewhere warm, good for you. I didn't get to do that, and I wish I had. But welcome back. Hope you had a relaxing time, and now it's back to the grind, our daily grind with our families. I have a couple updates this evening before we get into the items on the agenda. First, the budget. The Executive County Superintendent of Hunterdon County approved the preliminary budget that Mrs. Spitzer submitted in March. The county was very, very impressed with the budget and its organization that Mrs. Spitzer submitted. In fact, the county said that it was one of the best budgets in Hunterdon County. So congratulations to Mrs. Spitzer. Thank you for a job very well done.
Thank you.
Tonight is the official public hearing regarding the proposed final 2014-15 budget. It's amazing that we're already talking about next school year already. Tonight, Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer will present the final budget to the board and to the public this evening. At the conclusion of their presentation, the board will be provided an opportunity to make any comments or ask any questions. There will also be an opportunity for members of the public to address the board with any comments or questions regarding the presentation. During the Facilities and Finance Committee report, the Board of Education will vote on the final 2014 budget. At this time, I'd just like to take just a few quick minutes to review the process that the Board of Education, Dr. Clark, and Mrs. Spitzer, and members of the district staff took to develop and review the proposed final budget for this evening. The Facilities and Finance Committee, along with Dr. Clark, Superintendent of Schools, and Mrs. Spitzer, our Business Administrator, and members of our staff started working on a zero-based budget in the November-December timeframe of 2013. Other committees, like our Policy and Curriculum Committee and our Personnel Negotiations Committee, also met to talk about specific needs within their committee's area of responsibility, and then provided feedback to those working on the budget. The Facilities and Finance Committee met on numerous occasions to discuss the various aspects of the budget. On March 10th, at a board meeting, Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer presented a preliminary budget to the full board. The board then asked Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer questions regarding the budget. Members of the public were provided an opportunity to speak to the board and ask questions and or make comments regarding the proposed budget. After the questions by the board and the public, all board members agreed and expressed their support for the proposed budget that was presented and did not ask for any changes. Moving on to March 17th, another Board of Education meeting focused on the budget. Dr. Clark and Ms. Spitzer presented a tentative proposed budget for 2014-2015 academic year. Board members and members of the public, once again, we're permitted to ask questions and make comments after that presentation. At that same meeting, the board voted to adopt the preliminary budget, and then Mrs. Spitzer submitted the preliminary budget to the Executive County Superintendent for his approval by March 30th. As I just mentioned, the Executive County Superintendent approved our preliminary budget. This leads us to tonight's meeting, when Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer will present the final budget to the board and to members of the public. The board will vote on whether or not to accept the budget during the Facilities and Finance Committee report. Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer will present the final budget to the Clinton Township Town Council during the month of May or June. So that's a short summary of the budgeting process and how we got to this evening. I would just like to take a moment to thank Dr. Clark, Mrs. Spitzer, and the members of the Facilities and Finance Committee for their work and involvement with the development of tonight's final budget that we'll all see tonight. There are many hours of work done during this process, many considerations taken into account, and many very difficult decisions to make. So I'd like to thank each and every one of you for your participation and providing what I feel to be a very good budget this evening. The next thing I'd like to quickly touch on, as I spoke at the last board meeting, I developed a document that serves as a very high-level list of projects and tasks that the board as a whole are working on, or our committees are working on, and or our administration is working on for 2014. The document is really the board's plan or business plan for the year, and is a living document that gets updated when it's necessary. I have left at each one of your seats tonight an updated version of this task list. All items that have been completed since our last board meeting have been highlighted in blue so that you can easily identify what has been updated and changed. Just a couple of quick highlights. Tonight you'll see we'll have completed the budget public hearing. Our policy and curriculum committee has completed their discussions on changes to our transportation policy. They've made changes, our policy and curriculum committee, along with Dr. Clark, on policy 2132. We've had a first reading on that, a second reading, and tonight we'll vote on changes for that particular policy. The board will be working on the following projects off of this list during the month of May. We will have a public comment section on transportation and our new proposed policy, and then we'll have a second reading and vote on transportation. We will begin our process as well for a CSA's evaluation. If you should have any questions regarding this document, if there's anything missing that you'd like to have placed on this document, please don't hesitate to let me know. Now, this is the fun part of the president's comments for me. There's always fun things that are happening in our school, and very often so many good things that it's hard to pick and choose what you want to report about. So I just kind of picked two for tonight's meeting. The first is the Reading Olympics at Round Valley. The fifth and sixth grade students at Round Valley competed in the Reading Olympics on April 19th. The Reading Olympics, for those that do not know, is a program that's run by our amazing enrichment teacher, Mrs. Renee Seeloff. Students who choose to participate in this program read approximately 9 to 11 books from a list of 35 required books from January to April. And that's on top of all their other schoolwork that they're required to do. On April 19th, these students competed against, I believe, 15 other schools in Hunterdon County at the Hollenbrook School in teams of 8 to 12 students. Students competed in three rounds of 20 questions on the books that they read. I know many people who judged or moderated this event, and I have to tell you that the feedback I got from them relative to our students who represented Clinton Township and the Round Valley School was absolutely phenomenal, and it was consistent across the board. They were so incredibly impressed with our students about how prepared they were, and not only about how prepared they were, but how much more prepared they were than all of our other students. Judges said that they were mature and handled themselves so well during the competition. I took some time to see if I could learn a little bit more about the Reading Olympics off the internet, and I happened to come about some websites of the schools that we competed against and how they introduced it to their particular students and how they invited their students to participate. Several of the schools that I did find information on only asked their students to read 3 books. Now, obviously, the more books you read, the more prepared you're going to be for the competition. Our students read between 9 and 11, when other districts only required their students to read 3. So that speaks volumes to the commitment of our students to represent our community and our district in other areas. I'd like to ask Dr. Clark to share with all of you the wonderful successes that our children had at the Reading Olympics.
It's absolutely amazing. It really is. We had the top 3 scores of the evening, as well as 1 sixth grade team achieving a record score over the top score ever for Reading Olympics. So our teams placed as follows. We had the Page Perfect Penguins, grade 5, who achieved 3rd place with a score of 34 points. We had Dictionary Dinosaurs, grade 6, 2nd place, 37 points. Universal Unicorns, grade 6, 2nd place, 38 points. Brainy Bookworms, grade 6, 2nd place, 40 points. Los Lectores Grandes, grade 5, 1st place, 44 points. Jelly Bean Geniuses, grade 5, 1st place, 46 points. Literature Llamas, grade 5, 1st place, 49 points. The top score of the evening and record score, Page Pounding Pandas, of course. Part 2, grade 6 with 58 points. So I want to say thank you to our wonderful teachers, our wonderful principal and vice principal who supported the program, and all of the wonderful coaches and judges and everyone who participated. So thank you very much, and congratulations to Round Valley School and the Reading Olympics.
Yay. I agree with everything Dr. Clark said, and I'd like to thank the principals for supporting this program as well. The success of our children is a credit to the children who put the hard work in to reading these books and taking the pride in representing our school and our district and our community in the way they did. It's a credit to all the parents as well, who probably worked like I did with mine. Make sure you read. Make sure you read. You have other teammates counting on you. But I want to thank the parents, too, because their successes are an extension of you as well. And I really want to thank Mrs. Seeloff for her dedication to this program and all the effort that she puts into this program in preparing and inspiring our children to compete. It's a monumental task to get that many children and that many teams to work together gracefully, maturely, and to have the success they are. So it's really a huge credit to her. I'd like to thank her and congratulate all of our children. Dr. Clark and I talked about inviting these students to a board meeting to be recognized, and I know that we're working on doing that too. I'm looking forward to that evening so that we can share with them how proud we are as a Board of Education of their accomplishments. Now for another fun thing. There was a talent show at Round Valley a couple of weeks ago, and there were, I want to say the show was about 2 hours long, I think?
At least
2 hours long, right? And it's the annual talent show, and the children were just fabulous. The amount of talent that's in Round Valley is just amazing. But there's talent in Round Valley you probably didn't even know existed, okay? There were 2 acts that I would like to highlight for everyone that were made up of strictly members of our Round Valley staff. They were the Pink Ladies that our principals, Mrs. High, and Mrs. Hinkle represented, and you guys danced to...
Grease.
Is that a statement or a question?
They were incredibly synchronized and had a whole lot of fun. And the second group, I think, were called the Greasers. And that was a large group of Round Valley staff as well. You could tell by both groups that they put a great deal of time and preparation in their performances. Both acts were a lot of fun to watch and were very, very good. The children absolutely love to watch their teachers and principals perform. I'd like to thank each member of the RVS staff that participated in the talent show. It created a lot of fun memories for all, but especially for the children. So I just want to thank you for doing that. And that will conclude my report for this evening. I'd like to now pass over the agenda to the report of Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Clark.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for being here. We have some wonderful things planned for tonight. So you came on a good night. The first thing I would like to speak to you about is that, you know, we just talked about the Reading Olympics and our students' work in reading and literature. But you know that in Clinton Township, we work very hard to represent the whole child. And we have another performance tonight by our CTMS middle school students who are represented by the director, Steve Schaefer. Mr. Schaefer, would you please join us? I have to say that I just have to make a comment about Mr. Schaefer because not only have I attended a number of school performances that he's directed, but I have been lucky enough as an administrator to hire this man twice in my career. Once in another district that shall remain nameless that lost him. And they couldn't keep the program. And so, lo and behold, he gets to come to Clinton Township. And so we're so proud to have him here. And he's directing our student jazz band this evening. And so I'm going to turn it over to Mr.
Sure.
Schaefer to introduce the students.
Absolutely. Let me bring them along and I'll introduce them.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. This is the CTMS Jazz Band. Consists of, we're going to play two songs for you tonight. We're playing a song called Oye Como Va by Santana and Take Five, which is a Dave Brubeck song. Jazz Band consists of drums, bass, the trumpets, clarinet, saxophones, and piano. We certainly appreciate the opportunity to play for you tonight. We have a concert on May 22nd. It's coming up in a few weeks. And we're getting ready for that. We have a Hershey trip actually this Friday. So we have a lot of fun stuff coming up. And I think we'll play for you now. All right? We're going to start with Oye Como Va by Santana. Everybody got that? I've switched through. Okay? Good. You can dance if you want to.
Thank you.
next piece is called Take Five. The fun thing with this one is that it's in five. If anybody's a musician, this is in 5/4 time. So it's not something you hear every day. It's kind of weird. It's a little getting used to. Right, Ben? Uh-huh. All right, here we go. Take Five. Let's get five on that.
Can I say a story to tell you? And Yeah, it leads into that. Know this because some of you may not know, Mr. Schaefer's wife, Mr. Schaefer, had a baby October or November?
November.
So the baby came a little sooner than expected, and I knew that the baby had come, and so jazz band turned up, and they're all standing there, and I said, Mr. Schaefer's not here. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm half asleep, I went, oh. So I said, okay, just wait. So two of them come up to me and said, can we go and practice? So I thought for a minute, and I said, are you sure you're going to be able to do this? Yes. So they came. After about 10 minutes, I thought, I'll go down and check how they're doing. Mr. Tarrant said, you should hear them. It was absolutely wonderful. Fernanda was there at the front. She was conducting. And she was being Mr. Schaefer, and they were absolutely doing exactly what they should have been. What fantastic musicians they really are. So
now, I don't make a habit of not. I don't make a habit of not showing up at rehearsals. But just to say that if that happens. So, thank you very much.
With a budget presentation, really.
I have to tell you, I have three children that are playing instruments, and it doesn't sound like that.
This is part of what we're doing as a board to try and showcase our wonderful students in all the different areas that they work in our schools. And it really showcases what our students can do and how fabulous our staff is. We're awfully proud of them, and this gives us another opportunity to show that pride in the Clinton Township Schools. So congratulations to our jazz band, and I hope this reminds everybody on May 22nd, you want to come out, to really a free concert, I'm just saying. I would also like to take a moment to recognize Special Education Week that is coming up. According to New Jersey school boards, all right, 18A36-5, and recommended by the superintendent, that's me, to recognize the week of May 11th, 2014, as Special Education Week. The superintendent with the Department of Special Services recognizes the contribution of board members, educators, parents, and the students themselves, and commends them for their dedication to ensuring quality education for the exceptional citizens of this state. And so I would like to make sure that I give to each of our principals to display in their schools, Climbing the Ladder of Learning, a poster by New Jersey School Boards, to please post this in recognition of Special Education Week. And I have one for each principal. Okay. And I think there's an extra one for Mrs. Steinheimer to put in her department. In Clinton Township, we have many wonderful programs for all our students. We have the little logo, Students First, and that means all students. All students are special students. And so I just wanted to make sure that we recognize this week, this coming week, as a special week for us in our schools. That's about it. Let me give you our other action items. So, in our enrollment report, we're holding steady at 1549. Suspension report, We had one two-day out-of-school suspension, suspensions, Round Valley School. One one-day in-school suspension at our middle school. Three one-day out-of-school suspensions at the middle school. Our HIV harassment, intimidation, bullying report. We had one investigation at Patrick McGarren determined not to be HIV. Seven investigations at Round Valley School, all determined not to be HIV. And two investigations at CTMS, one determined to be HIV.
Thank you. I'm seeking a motion on 14SU013, please.
Motion.
Second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Dr. Clark? Comments?
Quick question. On the HIV report, has there been any...
Mark, can you speak up?
I'm sorry. I'm so relaxed here at the table looking myself. I'm chill now. It's jazz. Anyway, the HIV report, is there any trend or pattern of one school having more investigations than another, or?
Well, I think right now, Round Valley is taking the current lead, but frankly, it does go up and down for different schools at different times of year. I will say to you that when spring hits, all right,
yeah.
There is something about spring that brings on middle school students' excitement level, shall we say, and they tend to get into more difficulties, and those tend to turn into different reports for us, suspensions, HIV, and so you will always see a bit of a rise in the springtime when... What is there's a phrase?
They need to listen to the jazz band. Maybe. Chill out.
Well, yes.
And another.
Okay.
Can I comment on something you said, Dr. Clark? Another factor would be the enrollment. Like if you look at Spruce Run, there's 293, and Round Valley is 537. So.
Yes. Round Valley does have a higher enrollment. That's exactly correct,
it's
Mr.
Not quite
Sturgis.
Double,
thank
but
you.
It's,
thank you for pointing that out. Yes, that's exactly correct. So statistically, it would be higher there. But there is something to that age as well.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions for Dr. Clark? No? Mrs. Spitzer, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Moving on into the agenda, I'd like to ask Dr. Clark and Ms. Spitzer to take the podium and present to the board and the public the proposed final 2014-15 budget.
We'll try to make this as interesting as possible for you. If you've already heard it, try to add a little excitement, maybe. Okay. So this is our public hearing for the 2014-15 school budget. I'm going to just do a quick review of how we start the budget process in terms of looking at needs and the district goals. So clearly our first priority is student achievement and providing a supportive environment for our students. We look at safety and security for our students, our staff, our facilities. We really are very aware of maintaining the community investment in our facilities and buildings. If we don't maintain our buildings, they lose value in many ways, and they are less secure. So we need to maintain that. And the board is particularly fiscally responsible. And they are very interested in a community partnership. It's part of the district goals this year, an outreach to the community. They have been very attentive to listening to what community members have had to say about the budget, about our schools, and about progress for the future for our students. And of course, part of that is making sure that we share information about this budget in a variety of meetings and processes. I just want to take a moment to review the enrollment impact. It is of particular note this year, and I expect in the next few years. We have an overall trend. This year we're decreasing by approximately 95 students, or 6.39%. Our out-of-district placements are stable. However, I would like to point out that there is no state cap on out-of-district tuition costs. So that means that an out-of-district school can charge us anything they choose for tuition, and they can change that pretty much anytime they want, right, Mrs. Spitzer? And so we have contracts with them. However, they do have a right to change that tuition on a regular basis, and they do. I will also say that there are lower reimbursements from the state. So the state does reimburse us some for special education costs, but they do not meet the full amount of money, and they reimburse us with a percentage of our costs, not the full cost. One of the questions that's come up over certainly the last 2 years that I have been here is the consideration of closing a school due to the enrollment trends. And what I would say to you is that the board is looking at this carefully. You'll see tonight on our agenda, we are hiring a demographer who's going to be looking at these enrollment trends very carefully and looking at doing even a housing analysis to further detail what our concerns might be for the future. And the board is really studying this carefully. They're not going to make a quick, hasty decision because closing a school does not necessarily save you the money that you think it may save you. And so you have to look at the finances very carefully. And you also may look at repurposing buildings in the community so that you don't lose the long-term value of that investment in the community's part. So there are many things for the board to look at. They've already started the process. We don't know where it's going to wind up. We can't read the future right now, but we'll be watching it very closely. Let me also say that one of the enrollment impacts is school choice. We have a total of 99 students across selected grades. I want to emphasize the word selected grades. We do not accept school choice students just randomly. We do not discriminate in terms of accepting them. However, we do look at where we have opportunities to fill in gaps in our grade levels without increasing our cost. You know, schools, although sometimes we all in education bridle a bit at schools being considered a business, there is something to be said for being very fiscally responsible and counting your pennies. So when you're looking at school choice, you have to be very careful about your balance sheets, that you're actually earning additional monies for the district, to provide better programs for all the students of Clinton Township as opposed to losing them, which you can do if you're not careful about how you monitor the school choice program. And we look at it very carefully. We only accept grades where we have available seats so that we're not adding additional sections, which add additional costs. We also have the enrollment impact is impacting different grade levels in different ways. So we have some results in a reduction in salary costs in our budget this year. We have kept our class sizes below policy requirements and state average. So I want to be very clear that although we do have an enrollment impact and some sections decreasing, we are not doing a section decrease by increasing class size. So we're keeping our class sizes at the level that we wanted to maintain them, that we feel comfortable at in Clinton Township. I'm gonna do some quick budget highlights. The first thing I wanna talk about a little bit is safety and security. District-wide, we received some ROD grants, which are regular operating district grants from the state. They provide for 40% of the actual cost of our work. We're going to be doing what's called security vestibules in the front of our buildings so that they will be a bit more secure. We've talked to a number of security experts, and we've done some different things in the buildings already. Some of them people are aware of, some of them that you're not so aware of, and we're keeping it that way. I think the community will see that there is going to be some construction work going on this summer, and those security vestibules will be part of that, and that's district-wide. Spruce Run School, I think everyone knows that we have some parking lot repairs to do there. We did try to budget this last year, and we applied for grants, but those grants were denied. So we did not receive grants for that, so we had to add some additional monies for that in this year's budget so that we could actually afford to do it. Patrick McGarren, we have some exterior doors being replaced. We also have parking lot repairs there. And one of our big investments that many people are not aware of at Patrick McGarren, although the Patrick McGarren staff is very well aware of it, is the wastewater treatment plant. Thank God for Dave Fields, is all I want to say. Who's really single-handedly really worked to maintain that so that it's operating well. But it's come to a point where we need to invest some additional monies in that. And so the Finance and Facilities Committee of the Board is well aware of this. Mrs. Spitzer's been working with our district engineer, Mr. Holt, and they're doing some planning for repairing that so that we don't have to worry about that for the future, because I know it's giving me a bit of gray hair. Probably not Mary Postman, though. We also have some parking lot and curbing repairs being done at Round Valley School. I'd also like to share with you, if you look at this, I know it's a little bit hard to read up there, when you look at it online, this will be posted on the website for more easy reading. But there are a number of curriculum and program updates that we are doing. And when you look at them, they have letters next to them, M and C. M is mandated. And that's because there are 19 mandatory trainings and 32 policies that require reports, and training and professional development. And although the state said they were going to cut back on them, every time they cut two, they add five. We have continued work to do for mandated and curriculum-based programs that we must have in our budget. And we've listed them here in terms of professional development, the teacher and principal evaluation systems, instructional hardware and supporting technologies for CARC, the new online assessment. Just this year alone, just to put in updates, hardware and I think predominantly hardware updates, it was $30,000 to get us ready for CARC, and there's more to come. The state did, by the way, give us a little bit of a bump in our state aid to cover that. They gave us $14,000. We've already spent at least 30, and there's more to come in the budget. Leveled reading materials. We have in math, grades 6 through 8, we need some new texts. We had to initiate new Common Core standards this past year, and they'll require texts and material updates. Social studies, informational texts for reading. We're adding an additional part-time math basic skills instructor at Round Valley. We're adding a math coach for students at the middle school. Those two positions, by the way, came after some research that we did evaluating our math programs. And as we did that, we did some reports to the board, and I think that was part of some of our public presentations here that you can go back online and look at, the results of which recommended that we get into some of our earlier grades to do a little bit more coaching and support in the area of math. Those of you who lived through the initiation of the Common Core in fourth grade a year ago know exactly what we're talking about. We're also adding an additional administrator, and that is part of, if you look next to it, there's an M. Because of the mandated regulations in terms of teacher evaluations, adding them, we have an enormous amount of work to do in this area. I tried to get us a waiver this year, and today I got a letter from the state saying that they denied the waiver for the last round of tenured teacher evaluations. So our administrators are now on super full speed to complete those in the next month. So those of you who have not had your third tenured evaluation will be getting them. All our non-tenures are completed. We're also adding a facilities position for maintenance, where we're struggling a bit maintaining our buildings, our four buildings, and all kinds of additional plants that we have here in facilities. And we're adding in a special education position that will work on reading instruction based on IEP needs and requirements. So those are some of the budget highlights, and I'm going to turn it over to Mrs. Spitzer to talk a bit about the tax impact for you.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. Just a quick overview before we start talking about the tax impact. With all of the things that Dr. Clark has identified this evening as well as in previous meetings, we talked about all of the things that we've been required to do and things that are the best things to do for our district. With that said, over the last 3 years, we've been successful in actually only increasing our budget a total of 1.32%. The way we've been successful in doing that is clear planning. The Finance Committee has worked really hard on making sure we stay within our means, as well as the Board of Education. And in doing that, we've been successful again in introducing a budget that has a very small tax impact on the Clinton Township taxpayers. The tax rate for the 2014-2015 school year shows a 0.33% increase. The average assessed value of a home in Clinton Township is $394,000. That will be an increase on that average home of $14.98 for the year. If you were to do the math, and we'll talk about this on the next slide, if we did the calculation based on $100,000 property value, it's 3.79 cents for every $100,000 of assessed value. The way we calculate that is we first have to determine what our state funding and what our revenue streams are going to be in the current year. And after we identify all of the specific expense needs in the district, we then determine what we will receive in revenue, and the difference is what we have to raise in taxes. So in this current budgetary year, we need to raise $22.5 million in tax levy for the general fund. The additional $2.1 million is the balance that we need to raise for the referendum, which was determined in 2003. We've been successful over the years in making that a better investment by refinancing it. This year, we actually have a little bit of an increase due to the amortization schedule. The difference between the year-over-year tax levy is 0.22% or $50,000. The Board of Education looked at this really closely due to the fact that we needed to do additional investments into the PMG wastewater treatment plant. We really focused on putting some additional monies there, so we have increased a small percentage year over year. The way the tax rate is calculated is once we determine what our tax levy needs to be in order to fund the balance of the district, we take what's considered the rateable, so those are the valuations that we actually get from the township, and it's simply a mathematical equation. We take the tax levy divided by the rateables and come out with a dollar amount, actually. So in this particular year, we're going up from $1.15 to $1.16. And I'll explain in this one how we get there from here. What this slide does is it basically gives you an overview of assuming that $100,000 of assessed value. As our rateables decrease, we assume that that $100,000 also is decreasing at the same rate. So by decreasing our rateables a percentage of 0.26%, our rateables last year decreased $5.5 million, which of course then in essence increases your tax rate. What we did is we took a $100,000 average assessed house for the 13-14 budget year. We then decreased that value 0.26%, assuming that it's decreasing at the same rate of the rateables, to come up with that same home in 14-15, or the same $100,000, at $99,740. And that's how we're able to give you the year-over-year comparison of what the change is for your assessed property value. So the $3.79 per $100,000 per year is how this number is calculated on a simple calculation. What this next slide does is it compares how we're performing in terms of our cost per pupil with other like districts. When I say like districts, I mean it's the same district factor group, it's the same number of students. So we are comparative to the Flemington-Raritan School District, which is also an I district, and it has more than 1,500 students. So it's actually over 750 is the point that the state uses to calculate these. This comes from the Taxpayer Spending Guide, so this is information that's public information. Unfortunately, it's not real up to date. Our information comes from the state of New Jersey, and it seems to come later and later every year. So these numbers are actually based on the 12-13 budget, not necessarily the actual numbers. The actual numbers, audited numbers that we have reflected here, are actually from the 6/30/12 audit. So where we compare to other school districts, Clinton Township, in ranking for cost per pupil has improved for the 12-13 year for budget purposes. In the 11 and 12 audit, we were ranked number 78 in our cost per pupil at 14,118. We have improved to 52 at 14,043. So we actually showed a decrease from the actual audit to where we were for 12-13. And comparing to our other like districts, which is Flemington, Raritan, Reddington, Branchburg, and Warren Township, we are right in the middle. So we have the lowest being Flemington, Raritan. They're ranked number 39 at 13,264. I'm using the 12-13 budget. And the way we're comparing also is we also take a look at the state median. So the state median for our operating type, the cost per pupil for 12-13 is 13,998, and we're at 14,043. So we're really performing in a very positive way in terms of what we're able to provide for our students at a cost that's reasonable to our taxpayers at this time. Dr. Clark is going to talk a little bit about what we were unable to put in the budget due to some of our financial restrictions. Dr. Clark.
All right. So the question is, what is not in this budget? The first thing that's not in this budget that you'll notice is that there's no full-day kindergarten. There has been much discussion on it. The board is doing a lot of research and planning and going to be working very closely with the demographer to look for the future and next year's planning. But as of this date in time and this school budget, we do not have full-day kindergarten. We need a new maintenance truck. We're doing repairs on it. But I think this is probably going to be the last year. It's pretty much close to shut. The Spruce Run School Playground, I believe that needs some improvements for the future. We did not put additional full-time secretaries in this budget, and they were a much discussed item. And we are aware of concerns about that, but right now they are not in the budget. We did some minimal lighting work. We're doing some repairs at the middle school, but we know we need better lighting in that parking lot and some additional drainage in the back of the school that we're aware of. A number of other improvement projects are in our long-term facilities plan, but we can't address everything in 1, 2, 3 years. You really have to look long-term. We have 4 large buildings, some of them aging, and they need a lot of work on a regular basis. Just like in our own homes, sometimes we postpone and we repair something as opposed to replacing it. We try to look at the long-term costs and what the best thing to do is at each time. But there are things you just want to get to and you can't do. There are things that are less expensive, like maybe the signage at Round Valley School, that we need something new and we're not getting to yet. And other things that are a bit more, like field maintenance and energy projects. But I promise you, we keep looking at them, and we keep trying to find ways to fit them into our budget each year. And every year, we do a few more and get closer. I just also wanted to mention, as an additional consideration in this budget and the future. Right now, we do not have any association contracts that are settled at this time. And we all know that that impacts budgets in all kinds of ways. So, Moving on to questions. So I would like to thank everyone. I hope we got through this a little bit faster, a little bit more concisely for everyone. Questions for the board?
Board, have any questions for Dr. Clark? Mrs. Spitzer?
Yes. I have a related question to one of the items on here.
Mm-hmm.
With the field maintenance, we talked about it here, and we haven't budgeted for it.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed just from personal experience with the Little League that some of the baseball fields are to the point where you can't play on them. But we have this arrangement with the town and with rec where the fields are being leased to the leagues. But Round Valley, for example, you can't play on the infield. So we've got to do something there. And we have a shared services agreement. Is there any way to spur a dialogue with the town and rec and our maintenance about if we're going to lease it or if they're going to lease it? They have to be able to access it.
There's always a way to have a dialogue and conversation. I will share that I did have a conversation with rec recently about some other field issues, and they shared with me that the town is on a very tight budget and very shorthanded, and they're running into difficulties maintaining a lot of the things even in our agreement. So, for example, this year we had an issue with the plowing. We have an agreement that they do the outside bus circle plowing, and they didn't get to that, and we had to kind of have another dialogue, conversation about that to get that moving again, and we were fortunate in being able to do that. But there is always a back and forth with the town about it, but I think they're in a difficult situation financially as well and don't have a lot of the resources, the same resources that they may have had in the past as well. I think we're going to have to look at these fields and consider doing something because I think we're all concerned, and especially, yeah. I mean, this year was a very tough winter on fields.
Oh, that's what it looks like. Like the field was underwater. It looks like water grass, but it's not usable. And if we can't work something out between our maintenance and the town, it might be something we can do on a volunteer basis, but it's a long season, and that field is in rotation on a schedule.
Yes.
But you just can't use it. So they go to the outfield.
Can I offer that something we'll talk about in facilities and finance in the next couple of meetings to try to source out
mm-hmm.
all of our fields that are being used and not being used, and try to come up with a plan if we can do that and table the discussion for facilities and finance, and we'll come back to the board with some proposals and some options.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, we'll put it on the next agenda.
At the March 10th budget presentation, I guess we talked about state aid. You had a state aid mention. And for the record, I guess school choice is down a little bit because the students are down. And I know in the past we talked about school choice and full-day kindergarten, but clearly the numbers are going down in school choice, and they continue to go down. And we need to be cognizant, I believe, of the school choice dwindling, the relief. And also the state aid in totality, we received $28,100 increase. Is that net?
That's correct.
It's not much.
No.
All right. So what I'm trying to say is, I mean, there's not much coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking to fund programs, but we have to do little by little. We can't function if school choice is going down. And it may continue to. We need to really keep an eye on this because, that's my concern that
school choice is suffering exactly from what you said. Right there. There's enrollment in most of the communities in this particular area where we would draw students from, enrollment is also decreasing. You also have the added point that in the past year, a great many more districts in Huntington County enrolled in the school choice program. So they are also drawing some students that we may have gotten in the past. And yes, full-day kindergarten is a factor. Right now, I would say it's a minimal factor for this year. I think we lost maybe three students. to full-day kindergarten programs that we're aware of. All right, they're not everybody tells us everything on why they're doing things, but there are three students that I'm aware of that parents said to me they were specifically moving because of the full-day kindergarten. That's not a high number, but I suspect school choice will be impacted by that in the future if we do not make some other considerations.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Dr. Clark or Mrs. Spitzer?
I think just a comment, staying on Mark's comment of the funding from the state, is, you know, a concern for future years is that we're seeing increasing mandates from the state. I think the one that's most concerning is the teacher evaluations. And what's concerning about that is not the evaluation process. I always think evaluations are good. They help with development. It's the impact on scarce resources that we have to get a full day's job done. So we've been forced to take through a state mandate people who have a full-time position, and we've expanded the scope of responsibility within that position. And with the discussions that are going on in Trenton, it seems like we can expect much more to be coming down the pipe, which is going to impact it. There's only so much blood you can get out of a turnip. And we're doing a lot of that right now, operating with scarce resources. And I don't think we're seeing it to the extent that the township is seeing it in reference to Kevin's comments on the baseball fields. But I think that we're close to getting to that same point. We're in maintaining the day-to-day operations of the school and the facilities themselves. Is with all these mandates that are coming down, something's got to break. Either we're going to get less mandates from the state's got to give us more money, or we've got to reach into the wishing well pool a little bit too much to the taxpayers' pocket.
I agree with Mr. McKiernan. We talked about this in previous budget meetings, that we've purposely been very, very fiscally responsible with budgets that we've had the last several years. They've been very lean. And with all the mandates and all the aging buildings and things that we've put aside to try to keep the taxes lower and so we don't impact the people in our community, at some point in time it's going to become very, very difficult for us to maintain the lean budgets that we have. And you know, obviously the board will work very hard to do that, but it's going to become very difficult for us as well.
But in the same token, I don't want to see for sale signs wet because people can't afford their taxes. And, you know, it's a domino effect, really. I mean, if we have to put, you know, money into the budget and it goes against the taxpayer's dollar, you know, people are going to flee. Just like they flee New Jersey. They're going to flee Clinton Township. And we need to be cognizant of that. That's all I'm saying.
And I think it's important that you keep the maximum student achievement up or those for sale signs won't be
true. It's a tough balancing act. We're in a fiscal tight situation, and we're trying to maintain a thorough and efficient means of education in Clinton Township. It's, I think Dan alluded to, it's tough. It's a tough situation here. You know, it's a balancing act we have to do, and I think we're fiscally responsible, but we need to have the big picture of, you know, we serve the entire community here. So.
Any other questions? Thank you, Dr. Clark. Mrs. Spitzer?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to move on to our public comment section on agenda items only. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you would like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes. Would anyone like to address the board this evening? Okay. Seeing none, I'd like to then move us to the first recognition of the public. I'd like to open the floor to that first recognition. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We will follow the same outline for the first public comment on agenda items only. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 15 minutes. Anyone like to address the board? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to the report of the school business administrator, Mrs. Spitzer.
An update on the upcoming calendar. On Monday night, May 5th, we will be having a special meeting here in the auditorium at 7:30 p.m. for purposes of annual reappointments for staff as well as outside services. Our regularly scheduled Board of Education meeting is Monday, May 19th, and that also will be here in the auditorium at 7:30 p.m. Before you for approval this evening are the minutes for the March 24th meeting, as well as the transfers for the month of February, and the financials and treasurer's reports also for the month of February.
Thank you, Mrs. Spitzer. I'm looking for a motion on 14BA26 through 14BA29.
So moved.
Rachel?
Second.
Second, Mr. McTiernan. Questions for Mrs. Spitzer?
Yes, I have a request for a correction. On the minutes on March 24th, under new business, it states that the Township Council requested that the board present our budget to them. The reverse is correct, is that the Board of Education and Superintendent have approached Council to make a presentation to Council, and Council has accepted that request.
Mrs. McLaughlin, Mr. Tunin, would you accept these changes as a friendly amendment?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Anyone else have any questions for Mrs. Spitzer?
A couple of checks on the bill list, Mrs. Spitzer, or maybe Dr. Clark. 5139, it's a book replacement from BookSource. I was just curious what the replacement night books for eighth grade are. NIGHT.
I can't. Can you speak up? Check number 5139.
Yeah, it's from BookSource. Mm-hmm. Replacement night books for eighth grade.
Night.
It's a novel. It's a novel. Oh.
That's the title of the book.
They were pretty old. Mm-hmm. And some of them were so tattered that they were.
Okay.
So
I was just curious. Night books, I wasn't sure that. Okay.
Because the edition that we had is no longer available, we had to get more so that kids know that they could use in the class and will be on the same page in the same order.
Okay, thank you. And then two checks on the same topic. It's A5151 and A5156. They're both gas bills. One is Elizabethtown and one is Compass Energy. And I know we have some purchasing agreements. Is it a partial purchasing agreement with one company? Or?
No, we're in a consortium for our gas with ACES, it's called. And we have to, our gas provider is actually Compass Energy, but we have to pay Elizabethtown Gas to pipe it from the resource to the building. So they own the lines. So
we pay them both. One's like a transmission fee.
Correct.
And one's actually for
one
the...
One is usage and one is actually product. For the transportation of the fee.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Mrs. Spitzer, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Fredo?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Moving on to the reports of our committee. The first report is our Facilities and Finance Committee. The chairperson for that committee is Mr. Kevin Malloy. Unfortunately, he's not able to attend the meeting this evening, so I'll be giving Facilities and Finance report to the board. The Facilities and Finance Committee met on two occasions this past month. We first met on April 9th to interview a demographer by the name of Dr. Richard Geip from Statistical Forecasting LLC. Then we had a full committee meeting on April 14th to discuss a variety of items pertinent to the committee. I'd like to take a moment to highlight some of the key things from both of those meetings, as well as what's on the agenda specifically from our committee. First, the demographer. The Facilities and Finance Committee would like to recommend to the board that we hire Dr. Richard Geip to complete a two-part demographic study for the district. Dr. Geip is a well-respected demographer in New Jersey and in New York. He has his doctorate from Rutgers University in Educational Statistics and Measurement. He has completed over 100 demographic studies in the state of New Jersey alone. He is well-published and is very respectable in very respectable journals. He's also testified as expert witness in school demography cases and has presented at national and international conferences. He's recently completed work in Bridgewater-Raritan Regional School District. He's done work in West Windsor-Plainsboro District, South Hunterdon, and Chatham School Districts, just to name a few. The first segment of work that we're recommending to the board that he complete will consist of the following analysis. First, a community overview. He will then do a live birth data analysis to help project the number of kindergarten students that will help provide the board with information pertinent for our full-day kindergarten ad hoc committee in order to complete their work on full-day kindergarten. He will do a historic enrollment trends analysis from the last 10 years, a five-year enrollment projection for the entire district and by school, pre-K through eighth grade. He will look at the potential impact of COA on the district from an enrollment perspective. He will do a projection of housing growth and new homes in our community. He'll look at school capacity or do school capacity analysis of each building based on projections. He will also do a special education enrollment projection. This segment will be completed within 60 to 90 days from board approval, and the cost is $7,100. That includes a report and a presentation to the board and to the community. The second segment of work that the Facilities and Finance Committee is recommending to the board is a housing turnover trend analysis. More specifically, this segment would evaluate enrollment projections based on the history of the sales of older homes by older residents with children, with families with children. We found that this particular analysis would be very useful for the district to have completed. It'll make our general demographic study more solid and provides us with a greater deal of information. The Facilities and Finance Committee would like to recommend we conduct this segment as well. The cost would be $4,500. Moving on into just a couple more items from Facilities and Finance, the budget. This past meeting, the committee reviewed the final budget and presentation with Dr. Clark and Ms. Spitzer, and we'll vote on that, the final budget under the committee's report this evening, and also vote on the municipal tax schedule for 2014-15. That would be action item FF-167 and FF-168. I'd also like to bring attention to action item 14, FF-172. This resolution involves the fair school funding plan. New Jersey School Boards has asked us to make this resolution part of our agenda this evening. Basically, the resolution states that if our district was funded by the regular funding formula, our taxpayers would contribute significantly less towards funding our school district. Currently, we receive about almost $2.5 million in state aid for 2014. And if we were funded under the fair funding formula, then we receive about $14.6 million. That would represent an increase of 491% increase of state aid to our district. Now, we recognize that this will never happen, but we feel that it's important to support this resolution because it's truly what our district should be funded with.
It's possible.
I would also like to bring to the attention of the board action item 14FF173. In this action item, we're looking for approval to approve travel reimbursement to our athletic coaches when round-trip transportation is not provided for away games. And the last item I'd like to bring the attention of the board is FF173. It is the award of the Simplex Grinnell Company to install a fire suppression system and all associated electrical and fire alarm work at Spruce Run at a cost of $17,193. This is our committee report for tonight. I'm looking for an action motion. I'm looking for a motion to move action items 14FF163. That would also include the addendum we received today, action item 14FF178 through action item FF177.
FF178.
Okay. Motion. Motion, Mr. McTiernan.
Second.
Second, Mr. Ricciuto. Any questions?
Yeah, I'll talk about 172, the Fair School Funding Act, legislative.
I'm sorry, Mr. Freda, can you speak up, please?
Yeah, I'm sorry. 172, the Fair School Funding legislative formula there. Mm-hmm. This is not mandatory, right, that we put this on our, it's being requested by the school boards?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or Board of Education, especially us as a Board of Education. I'm supposed to be nonpartisan. We're not supposed to get involved politically here. Clearly, in my opinion, and I'm not speaking for anybody but myself, this is laden with politics. We have state senators on here, assemblymen on here, the governor. This is laden with politics, and I don't think the school board should be dictating to the Board of Education how they should get involved with the legislative affairs of the politicians. This is my humble opinion, and I want to express it because I don't think we should even be, I'm not saying I'm against it or for it, I just don't think we should be entertaining it as a nonpartisan school board. And that's what we're supposed to be. Board of Education is a nonpartisan. And I'm troubled that it's even on here, but I'm only speaking for myself. I just want to clarify.
Anyone else have any comments, questions?
I have one. On the addendum for the second scope work for the demographer, is it housing turnover analysis? Can you describe what are they doing in the second scope? It has to do with analyzing the family structure of who's selling and who's buying?
Mm-hmm. So they're looking at how old homes are in our community that have been for sale over a period of time. And classically, they're looking to see if those are older residents in the community who no longer have children in our community. And they're trying to understand who they're selling their homes to. Would it be people in our, you know, outside of our community coming in with children, or would it be people without children who potentially might have children, or people who are done with their childbearing years?
They utilize a proven regression theory of analysis that looks at the houses, the age of the houses, the age of the folks that are there, and historically, what is the turnover? With that, they can make some assumptions as to what the likelihood is of a family moving in. For example, I'm an empty nester, someone moving into my home, what the impact would be on the school. So when we look at the theory behind, I think I could say safely in Clinton Township, that we should be closing a school, well, this is something that can either prove or disprove that in the near term, the medium term, or the long term. And it is a proven model. It's not a new model. It's been used in California successfully, Midwestern states, I know New York, other parts of New Jersey, rather successfully. So it should be something that can help us to answer those questions on, you know, what are we doing as far as our facilities go. We could get some of that data by not doing that, but that would be almost like throwing a dart against the wall.
Yeah, I actually like the concept. I always talk about my informal analysis of my street,
yeah.
And that's what I see. You know, you see people coming in. The children weren't born here. but they're moving in with young kids that are not yet school age. And I was curious if we would be able to capture that in the analysis. Yeah.
I forgot what his percentage accuracy has been in other studies that he's done, but it's extremely high, the correlation factor.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Any other questions? Mrs. Spitzer, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Kreda?
I abstain on 172, the fair funding legislation resolution. Yes to everything else.
Mrs. Hand?
I abstain on 163, yes to everything else.
Mr. Malloy? I'm sorry. I knew I was going to do it. Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
I abstain on 172, yes on everything else.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes to all.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our next committee, personnel negotiations. Mr. McTiernan is chairperson for that committee. Mr. McTiernan, can you share your committee's report, please?
Certainly. We've had a couple of meetings during the period since our last Board of Education meeting, some of which will be continued after this meeting in executive session in regards to negotiations for all the different contracts that are open within the school district. We also have facing us tonight is 17 items, 14 PN 184 through 14 PN 200, 17 items. Looking at these items, number 184 through 196, basically our resignation, leaves of absence, extension of leaves of absence, they're the day-to-day operations of any school district and the changes that face the school district. One thing always to look at, even though that we can lump all those things together, whenever you have resignations, you have leaves or extensions of leaves, or you bring new people in, that requires another work burden that's transparent to most people that are looking at that, is that those people that leave their impermanent positions need somehow to be replaced, and that creates an advertisement process in regards to positions and also the interviewing process, which engages many of our administrators and some of our teachers also. So those are day-to-day operations. We also have three I'd like to bring everyone's attention to. 197 is new employment of an RVS lunch aide. Of course, that follows all the policies, practices, procedures established by the Board of Education to interview and select that individual. 198 actually is self-funding of the 2013-2014 memory book that will take place here at the Round Valley School. And then 199 through 200 is the approval of five Polytech students to come to the school and actually go through some classroom observations in support of their educational processes at Polytech. So with that, I'd put those items up for approval.
Okay. Seeking a motion, please.
So moved.
Ms. McLaughlin. Second?
Second.
Mrs. Hand? Any discussion or questions for Mr. McTiernan, please?
I have a question. I just noted that there are quite an extensive list of maternity leaves. What is the allowable time for consecutive years for leave? Is it two?
Two.
Two. Thanks.
I have one. On the Polytech students who are observing, what do they study at Polytech, or do they have an interest in becoming teachers?
I believe it's the early childhood education program.
So early experience. Childhood education. Mm-hmm. So what would their path be? Is they're
teachers.
Teaching as a
to
career?
Become teachers.
Might be teachers, might teachers be
assistants. Aides,
preschool programs.
It's nice to see.
Any other comments for Mr. McTiernan? Questions? Ms. Spitzer, can we please have a roll call?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to our Policy and Curriculum Committee. Mrs. McLaughlin is the chairperson for that committee. Mrs. McLaughlin?
The Policy and Curriculum Committee met on April 8th to spend a considerable amount of time going over some policies. I'm just going to highlight some of the changes to language
and the policies before you. We have a first reading of a special education and special education receiving schools policy, policy 2460. We actually only changed one word in the policy. The school district will, it used to say the school district will accept the use of electronic mail from parents to submit requests for an initial eval, and now we are no longer going to be accepting that. They have to write a personal letter in order to have a request done. In addition, on the 2461 policy, it says in the beginning of the policy that the policy and correspondence regulations and procedures will be submitted with a special education assurance statement for receiving schools to the county office no later than April 1st, and it had, for some reason, 2011, so we changed that to the of the current school year. So there are minor changes to revision. There was also a statement on number 9 stating that we would have alternate proficiency assessments up to grade 11, but clearly we don't have any grade 11 students, so we just eliminated the word 11 from that particular policy. And then we also have second readings for the superintendent duties, the school district goals and objectives, and the class size policy. We had already discussed those at a previous meeting, but just to highlight, we had added additional duties for our superintendent. We have now that she will annually develop and implement board goals and create an action plan for those goals. And in addition to that, we also had our own policy that each year our district goals will be established by September 30th of the school year via public meeting of input, and then approved by the board no later than October 30th of each school year. So those are the changes to the policies. In addition to that, we did have a discussion about our transportation policy, which you will see forthcoming in your board packet for our next meeting, which happens to be next week already. So have a little
I just have a question. Can we cover policies at the next meeting?
Yes, we did advertise that those may be discussed.
Okay.
So those will be in your, the transportation policy will be in your board packet, and I will highlight changes next week for that particular policy. We also have one field trip, June 5th and 10th, to Echo Hill for grade 3. This is a trip to study the river. I've been on this field trip. I can attest that it's a great time, and you can spend the day romping around in the river.
I hope it warms up.
So with that being said, I'm going to move action items 14PC028 through 14PC030.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin?
On 029, policy 1230, superintendent's duties. Is that at the direction of the Board of Education?
Okay. Yes.
Because you didn't say, I assumed it was.
It's added to, it's just, if you look on the first page of the policy, we just added a 5 and a 6.
All right. I just want to make sure it's at the direction, for the record. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Mrs. Spitzer, maybe have a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to the report of our kindergarten ad hoc committee. Mrs. McLaughlin chairs that committee. Mrs. McLaughlin?
I was getting my notes page for that one. The kindergarten ad hoc committee meeting was held on April 3rd, and that was the only time, due to the busy schedule this month, that we were able to meet. Dr. Clark was our guest speaker, so she came and updated the committee on the demographic study. As you heard earlier tonight, the board just recently approved the demographic study, which will be completed over the next several months, which will be an asset to our committee in finalizing our report. We will be coming out with an e-blast at the end of this week to update the community on our progress thus far. We spent a lot of time starting to talk about what our proposal will look like, but because we don't have any demographic information, we don't have a date yet for the public. However, we feel it is very important that when we do have a date, that we will advertise it and we will allow the public to come and view the presentation and ask questions. And we also have a meeting scheduled for next week.
So that is my report.
Thank you, Mrs. McLaughlin. Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin? Moving on to our communications committee. I know that this committee did not meet this month, so we will move on to our section on old business. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask questions about old topics on school-related matters only. It's not a time to make personal statements. Rather, it is a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up old topics relative to the business of the board. What I would like to do is, okay, so anybody have any old business they want to talk about at this particular point? No? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on then to our new topics or our new business for the Board of Education. Same parameters apply. I would like to start this section on new business by congratulating Mrs. Verderamo. She had a baby girl and is now enjoying the birth of her new child. So congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Verderamo as they welcome their baby girl, Morgan, into the world.
Who will be included in our demographic study.
Who will be included in our demographic study. That's right.
Your demographer predicted actually.
Mr. McTiernan, do you have anything to report as the liaison to the town council?
Yes, town council has met. I missed one of the meetings, and the other one this past Wednesday was a very, very short one. The Wednesday before, the town council met on COA, and you may be aware of that the council is in the process of making a purchase just south of the police department to incorporate COA housing. What's interesting about that is it's not yet determined the number of houses, and that I believe is going to be part of phase two. And there's also a phase three of COA housing. So there'll be more on that at the next township meeting. But as of yet, there is no anticipated number to be proposed that has been shared publicly. So we look at that in anxious anticipation and hopefully can include a partnership with our demographic group, and their demographer also. Also, do you want my other updates now, too? Or?
Sure.
Yeah. Also, the DIAC committee did meet, and I'm going to look at Bobby to keep me honest because I did end up leaving that meeting early. The DIAC committee, unfortunately, is one of those things that's state-sanctioned. Therefore, it has never-ending endpoint. But the committee was meeting, was concerned about there being no waiver update, which Dr. Clark gave us during the budget presentation, unfortunately, which means more observations are going to take place between now and the school year, which is going to create a major focus on the evaluation process. It was interesting to note that the individuals in the committee are concerned, I would say, on two things. One is looking at the consistency among the processes that are being used by the evaluators and feedback, and also the ability to get feedback were the waiver to take place. I took that as a very strong positive, is that typically your best and your brightest are always looking for feedback. And if they give a speech, for example, they're the first ones to go, how'd I do? Did I communicate my message? And I think some of the best and brightest were looking for, how can I make sure that I get appropriate feedback on that? There's still concerns about content and rate of reliability. I'd say inter-rate of reliability, not only within our school district, but well and beyond that. They're looking at also, is it what can we do in regards to professional development, or what can they do in regards to professional development planning, and are in the process of constructing a survey to go out to all of the teachers in the school district to identify those areas of most perceived need to come back as recommendations to the committee for development of a professional development day or days. Would that be a fair statement? And then the next meeting, I think, is scheduled for May 22nd.
May
16th. You led me astray. I got to get that down. May 16th. So we do look forward to, you know, meeting further on that, hopefully getting some more things in play that help our teachers maintain their high standing in the educational community. What other item I can share?
Sure.
I'm not sure if everyone's aware of this or not, but in reading the papers in the news today, This is International Recognition Day for the Holocaust. I think that's something very important to identify and be aware of, is that it was impactful to one-third of the Jewish community. That was not the only community that was impacted by it, but the world is recognizing or identifying that, at least those that recognize the Holocaust did take place. I thought that would be something important for us to be aware of and knowledgeable of.
Mrs. McLaughlin, did you have a subsequent meeting since the last time?
No, I did not. There was one about Park, but I did not attend that meeting.
Okay, very good. I also understand there's congratulations to Mr. Kevin Sturgis for being appointed a rep of ARC. So, Mr. Sturgis, congratulations on that appointment.
Thank you. Nice.
Moving on, I'd like to go to the second recognition of the public. I'd like to open the floor to the second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We'll follow the same outline for the first public comment on agenda item only. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the mic, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board? No? Seeing none, I'll close the floor then. The Board of Education will now move into executive session portion of our meeting. Mrs. Spitzer, can you please read the executive session statement?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meeting Act, NJSA 10:4-6, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b, excuse me, to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any matter involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion, or disciplining of any specific prospective public officer or employee, or current public officer or employee employed or appointed by the public body, unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could be adversely affected, request in writing that such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting. Subject to the balancing of the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights under South Jersey Publishing Company versus New Jersey Expressway Authority, 124 NJ478, the employee's and nature of the discussion described as specifically as possible without undermining the need of confidentiality or non-tenured staff renewal and the school business administrator contract. And whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representative of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contracts discussed are between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association and the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Administrators Association. And whereas the length of executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subjects will be made public at such time as the reasons for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mrs. Spitzer. Looking for a motion to go into executive session, please.
So moved.
Rachel. Second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Board of Education is now in executive session.